Out in the rocky woodland alleys of East Africa lurks a rodent that ain't nothing but a heartache. The African crested rat waddles around in a spiky, stripy overcoat like a tiny hedge skunk with a toxic secret. Unlike its murrain kin, this mouse with a mohawk copies the human trait of using its chemical environment for defense. But if you're not fast, strong, or hidden, you may as well be spicy, like the African crested rat here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy, your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I am Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/LDTaxonomy or click on donate on our website at LDTaxonomy.com.
And today we're talking about a fuzzy little creep, but more on that later.
Is he a creep?
I mean, yeah.
Is he a weirdo? What is he doing here? He doesn't belong here?
He doesn't belong here, that's for sure.
On the show or in Africa?
He belongs in Africa. Here is in Florida for me.
Yeah. But I'm sure, like, literally everything else, if it lived here, it would be doing just fine.
I know, because everything loves it here.
Yeah.
Including New Yorkers.
Except for polar bears.
And I bet it's they'd figure it out.
I see them at all the icy gas stations. So. But yeah, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the African crested rat.
Also, it's also called the maned rat.
Uh-huh.
It's my main man. But we're going to call it here the toxic toupee and the venom M&M.
Wow. Say that 10 times fast.
Because he'd be spitting bars. Sorry. Spitting fire.
Yeah, there you go.
He be spitting fire.
He be?
That's the right way to say that, right?
I don't know. Right is a strong word.
That's the culturally appropriate, culturally relevant way to say it.
I don't know. I'm not one for supposing. But yeah, do you want to know what it's called in science?
Yes.
Well, it's in the kingdom. You know it, you love it, you're in it. The kingdom Animalia. The phylum is Chordata. The class is Mammalia. The infraclass is Placentalia. It's placental mammals as opposed to what? The echidna?
So I actually just looked this up. There are, I think they're monotremes. Those are like egg-laying mammals, which is just platypuses and echidnas.
Uh-huh.
There are placental mammals, which is almost everything. And then there are marsupials.
Ah, okay. Placentalia. A wonderful land we can all hope to go to one day. Placentalia.
The visual image in my head is mortifying.
It's just a pink, like, dark pink cavern.
Gross.
The order Rodentia. The family is Muridae. The subfamily is Lophiomyinae. The genus is Lophiomys. Lophiomys. Yeah, you have to find the like pronunciation that sounds like a guy with a beard and no pupils.
No pupils?
Yeah, like a statue of Socrates.
Oh, the Greek statues, Lophimus.
Like when people that were greatly revered had no pupils. So, I wonder if they were painted on, because you know how like the Greek statues actually were painted and colorful. Yeah. I wonder if like the lack of pupils is because they were painted on and the paint came off.
Or maybe it was a sign of deity. I don't know enough about Greek sculpturing to even know the right word for it. So there you go.
And the species is Imhousi.
Imhousi. I'm endangered.
Lophiomys Imhousi. Imhousi. Oh, okay. It's because it's a rat.
You're not mousy. I'm mousy.
Right. Yeah. Exactly right.
All right. Well, since we are in the business of naming things, it's time for my favorite part of the show and the listener's favorite part of the show, Nitty Gritty Nomenclature. The part of the show where I ask you a question, and that is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature, which in this case is Lophiomys Imhousi. I'm going with Lophiomys because, yeah, Diogenes, like that, the same like emphasis on the I-O. But yeah, so what does Lophiomys Imhousi mean? Does it mean A, crested mouse in the house? B, large house in a tunnel? C, striped love house? Or D, lake-like house?
I'm going to go lake-like house, final answer.
It's incorrect. The answer is A, crested mouse in the house.
It's probably
so
just...
So Lophio is crest, is to have a crest, something with a crest, crested. Miss, M-Y-M-Y-S, is mouse. And then Imhousi is actually the surname of the guy who described it or taxonomized this thing, but... You gave me grief last time about just doing that and giving you the etymology of a person's name. So Imhousi literally means in the house, in a house.
Well, great.
So there you go.
That was really only because I knew that guy's name and what it meant. When I don't know what it means, I don't want it.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'll try and
just
pick
know.
Your battles for you.
Just know. Okay. Would you like to know? Well, I thought it was because of where it lives, at like sea level. I thought it was like maybe some sort of water rat, and so that it was like, oh, it makes its home near the water, lake-like house. Okay, but no.
I thought I would get you with maybe like Fio, like Lophio, like a Philo. With the love. So I put love house in there. Love house. Love house. I hope that's not a bad song. I actually never looked at the lyrics of Love Shack. It may be just reprehensible.
Doesn't sound great if you
I will
if you stop think and think about it. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not.
But it's old.
Maybe I'll take that back.
So it's not that bad, right?
It's old, so it's okay.
Well, it was played on the radio, so like there were stricter rules back then.
What do you mean it was played on the radio? Kesha was played on the radio.
But not in 1955 or whenever Love Shack came out.
Back when people had decorum.
Yeah. Well, back when
that song
had
was probably famous.
Clutch.
Yeah, that song probably made people swoon on their swooning couches, and that's why it became so popular.
Love Shack came out in 1989. So we have no idea about
we were all
song
we were
at all.
As a society, we were all done with swooning couches and pearl clutching at that point.
We were almost a Kesha, in fact. Kesha was born.
Kesha was right around the corner.
Yeah.
We had Avril Lavigne at that point, right? I don't know. Madonna. There we go. Madonna's the edgy artist of the time. I have...
You want to know what it looks like?
Yes, the maned rat.
The maned rat, the African crested rat, they have a thick, multi-layered coat consisting of long, silver, and black-tipped guard hairs that cover a dense, soft, woolly gray-white undercoat.
It has frosted tips. It's a member of NSYNC.
Mm-hmm. Its face and limbs are covered in short black fur, and it gets its name from a prominent mane of longer, coarser, black and white banded hair that runs from the top of their head down to the back, to just past the base of the tail. And it is known for looking a little like a porcupine. Looks like a small porcupine because it has those tips, those frosted tips. It looks like a porcupine's spines a little bit, especially when it's got its hackles up, when it's like puffed up.
Yeah, it's got real hedgehog vibes.
Yeah,
it's like it looks very prickly.
The Wikipedia picture looks extremely like a porcupine. It looks sharp. It looks like you don't want to touch it. Other pictures I've seen, it looks like fuzzier than a porcupine's quills, but
we're going to find out that it doesn't need to be spiky.
Yeah. Well, it's got the coloration of like a English badger. You know, the black, white, and gray. Yeah. It does not look like your typical rat at all. It's much fuzzier.
More distinguished.
Even the tail is not like a pink hairless rat tail. It's a fuzzy tail.
Yeah, it's like a big hairy caterpillar that is most of the way done eating a rat, and the head's poking out.
Yeah, horrifying. Horrifying way to look at it. Yeah. Do you want to?
It's the life I choose to lead.
Well, let's hear about its size. I said it was a small porcupine, but how small is it? Welcome to the beloved Measure Up segment, the official listeners part of the show, the part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send in audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words Measure Up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new Measure Up intro this week, but that means we get to hear from an animal, and Carlos has to guess what it is. Without further ado, the listeners part of the show.
This fair is a rat's paradise.
Do you know who that is?
That is George Templeton Strong. Templeton.
I forgot how funny that voice actor is.
A fair is a veritable smorgasbord.
Yeah,
I know. I've watched that movie quite a few times.
Fare thee well, Charlotte, you old schemer.
Fare thee well.
That's funny.
And then he just eats himself into a coma.
Mm-hmm. He does the like good kids movie inebriation, which is you eat too much.
And then he stumbles around.
Uh-huh.
Good kids movie inebriation.
You know, good clean inebriation.
Yeah, like the mouse in Dumbo after he falls into a bottle of champagne.
No, but that's actually inebriation. I'm talking about like food coma.
Okay. Well, nobody acts like that in a food coma.
The mouse, like the one in Dumbo is a baby elephant gets drunk on real like alcohol and sees pink elephants, which is an old-timey drunkard like phrase for somebody who's drunk. They're seeing pink elephants.
I don't know what that champagne was laced with, but anyway.
Yeah.
We're back to Dumbo. We talked about Dumbo two episodes ago with Jim Crow, so it turns out it's an animal-heavy movie.
It is. Well,
because the animals are heavy, they're elephants.
And there's a mouse in it. I could have done that. Let's talk about their length. They're between 14.5 and 20.5 centimeters, or 5.7 and 8.1 inches long without the tail.
We are coming up on the 250th anniversary of the U.S. Uh-huh. using the imperial system, in spite of all of the reasons not to. So you'd better give me those freedom units.
I already did. 8.1 inches.
Yeah.
8.1 without the tail. Tail adds a couple more inches. The Bab al-Mandab Strait connects the Red Sea with the Gulf of Aden, and thus connects the Suez Canal to the Indian Ocean in the wider scheme of things. It's a major global choke point for oil and trade, bordered by Yemen and Djibouti. True or false, 140,800 rats go into the width of the strait at its narrowest.
I've got 30 miles, 31 miles. That seems like it makes sense. Oh, yes, true. The answer is probably 28 miles. So it's probably, the answer is probably, 137,000. But whatever, it's close enough.
The correct answer is true. Yes. Your math is wrong. It's 18 what? Miles.
How many inches is this thing?
It is 8.1 inches.
I don't know why I got 14.
It's like 141,000 miles. I mean, 141,000.
What, the moon?
141,000 rats. Closer to 141. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, true. Basically true. 16 to 18 miles across. Now there's a choke point.
Yeah. I this wouldn't be topical at all. There are no like, you know, straight, you know, waterway choke points that are of any particular import.
I almost made this about time. The Strait of Hormuz, which is the topical one, but that's on the other side
of the Arabian Peninsula.
Yeah. This one's on the Africa side, because this is an African creature.
Yeah. We're not talking about the Strait of Hormuz because it has nothing to do with Africa.
Right.
Get out of here.
Exactly. Although the Strait of Bab al-Mandab is harder. If I could say it right, it would be fun to say. Bab al-Mandab. It rhymes. That's good.
Bab al-Mandab.
And it's the one they're using the pipelines to divert oil to, because they can get it out of that strait. But they can only do a fraction of it.
It works out because this thing lives in Somalia, and that's right there on the horn. So.
Mm-hmm.
Next to Djibouti.
Right next to Djibouti. Their weight is 590 to 920 pounds. It's huge. I'm just kidding. It's grams. It's a huge rat. Very dense rat.
That is an R-O-U-S if I've ever heard.
That is a post-carnival Templeton rat.
That is a Templeton rat that's about to get a DUI. That is a rodent of unusual size.
it's a rodent of unusual density. It's very normal in size, but
lift it. it is 8 inches long, but it does weigh 1,000 pounds.
Yeah. Just kidding. It is 920 grams or 32 ounces. A worker honeybee is a non-queen female bee that makes up the vast majority of a hive. True or false, an African crested rat would eat 6,133 honeybees to eat its weight in bees.
That seems like too many. False. I'm not even doing math. I just think that it sounds like it's too many.
The correct answer is true.
Oh,
it does seem like it's too many. But a bee...
6,000 bees weigh 920 grams.
Yeah. Yeah. Because a bee is 150 milligrams. It is it's a thing that flies around all day. It's a bug that flies. A flighted bug. It doesn't have a lot of weight to it.
Yeah, but still, 6,000 of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I guess one of those bee beards wouldn't be very heavy then.
No.
It'd be uncomfortable, but not heavy.
It might tickle. That's all I got for that. Are you ready to hear some fast facts before we get into the major fact?
Sure.
Well, they're found, these African crested rats, near sea level, up to highland forests and woodlands in countries including Ethiopia, Somalia, Sudan, Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania. They prefer rocky areas, hollow tree trunks, holes along ravines, and cliff face rock crevices. Like the hyrax, like the biblical hyrax. He lives among the rocks.
Yeah.
In the wild, it primarily eats leaves, fruit, other plant materials. In captivity, it also consumes meats and cereals and root vegetables and insects. How do they know it's not eating that stuff? There's bugs in nature. I have it on good authority. So that isn't how do it's a rat. I'm sure it eats all that all the stuff.
It's an opportunist, right?
Mm-hmm.
A generalist.
Yeah, and it'll shish kebab a bunch of sandwich meats and materials, spin it, and then have the meat fly off the shish kebab into its mouth.
And not even swallow it. Go directly to the bottom of his stomach.
Yes, it will create a giant pile of food materials. And as the pile collapses, it will run like a NFL receiver and catch the falling morsels before they hit the ground.
I forgot about that part of that.
These are all things Templeton does.
The big brass section, like, picks up the tempo. I was like,
exactly.
Oh, goodness. I haven't seen Charlotte's Web in so long.
I want to watch it.
My kids are afraid of spiders, so we're gonna go ahead and not.
The spider's nice.
Not do that one right now. This spider is nice.
Yeah.
But it doesn't
matter
how many times.
Maybe it'll turn it around for them.
Give them a personality. Then when I kill a spider in the house, we're going to have problems. So it's like I can't win either way.
Well, it sits on its haunches and uses its forepaws to hold and bring food items to its mouth when it eats. Like a squirrel. Isn't that fun? It's fun to imagine.
It's fun.
This fuzzy creature eating with its hands like people.
Like a raccoon.
Yeah. It is the only species in the superfamily Murroidae with a highly compartmentalized stomach. Divided into five anatomically distinct sections, similar to a ruminant, similar to a cow. That must be why it eats all this plant material. It's able to digest it.
Did not know it had segmented stomachs.
I mean, this thing's a weirdo. There's multiple things about it that could be considered major. The rat often live in pairs, these rats, and they may form small family units with offspring. And they appear to be monogamous, which is a rare and cuddly behavior for a rodent. There's no rat kings in the African crested community. It's small nuclear families. The cornerstone
the way God intended.
Yes. The cornerstone
of
rat
kings
society.
Are also the way God intended.
Not if you consider what a rat king is. A rat monarch, you're saying?
No. Isn't it like a harem that ends up getting all tangled up?
Oh, you're saying it's like divine judgment on a rat promiscuity?
Yeah, I think Amos covers that.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it does. But that's all I got.
Okay. It's time for the major fact. This one we're calling The Devil Wears Nada. Or,
that's good.
In parentheses, Dressed to the Spines.
That's good
too. Also parentheses, Dressed to Kill. So the African crested rat is one of the only known mammals that uses an outside toxin as a chemical defense system. It is the only rat that is poisonous. So the way that it does this, so you'd think that, oh, it has these quills, right? Kind of like the platypus. It has spine that it'll jab you with. But that would be that's venom. It's injecting you with the toxin that makes it venomous. The African crested rat is poisonous. Like a poison dart frog is poisonous. And it's actually similar to the poison dart frog in many ways, in that its toxin comes from its diet. So what the African crested rat will do is it chews the bark and roots of the poison arrow tree, which is the plant that humans have used historically to poison hunting arrows in the area. So poison dart frogs don't live in East Africa. But these trees do, and so they found bow and arrow wielding humans have always find a way to poison something. But yeah, this is the poison arrow tree, aptly named, and the African crested rat will eat the bark and roots of this and keep that poison in their mouths. They don't swallow it though, because that. They're not equipped to not die from swallowing it, but they chew it up and mix it up with their spit, and then they will lick that shake, that concoction onto these specialized hairs that it has along its flanks, and they're not the hairs aren't particularly like spiky. Again, it's not like a porcupine or a hedgehog, and it's not injecting the venom. They're just specialized hairs that have a bunch of tiny porous fibers on them, and they're designed to soak up this concoction. And so it kind of just, instead of being washed off or falling off or dripping off, it attaches and soaks into these hair fibers and holds the poison. The toxin ends up becoming a very powerful cardiac glycoside, and which is called uabane. And it is what it does is it interrupts the sodium potassium pumps in your heart cells and disrupts heart function. If you ingest it, so when the African crested rat is threatened, it'll bring its hackles up, which means it'll raise its hair to expose these particular hairs that are covered in the toxin. And if the predator bites the rat, then it will get a mouthful of the toxin. And it will most assuredly make the predator sick, but it also has the potential to kill the predator. Dogs that have attacked African crested rats have reportedly become violently ill, foaming at the mouth, and retreating immediately. Hopefully they've learned their lesson. Smaller animals are liable to not survive the encounter. But once again, this brings me right back to the poison dart frog thing. It's like if the thing that bites you doesn't survive the encounter, then how is your coloration a warning signal? Because yep. anything that has bitten you has not lived to tell the tale or pass on its knowledge through genes. So everything that comes across you and is wondering whether or not to bite you has never bitten you before. So it doesn't know.
Its parents told it the old lore.
It's like an ancient myth. Or like they watch. It's like, oh yeah, that Kikaju over there ate a poison dart frog. And Fred's dead now. So we don't eat those frogs, son. Not sure if that's giving the Kikaju society a little bit too much credit, but I don't know if they just get sick, like in this case, like a dog will bite it and get really sick and then run away. Then I can see like, okay, well, that dog is never going to bite one of these things again. And it might be able to teach its offspring to not bite those things and so on and so forth. And now you have a population of predators that don't eat this animal. But if it dies every time, like a poison dart frog, it seems bad because you're also dying. That's the other thing. if something big bites you and you're a poison dart frog, you are most likely not surviving it either. It's a Pyrrhic victory. But like the poison dart frog, the African crested rat has very specific coloration, as we mentioned, like these bold black and white stripes and this big, mohawk going on. It does not look like your average mouse, your average rodent. It looks spiky, and it tastes terrible. Makes it one of the very few mammals that is that are known to weaponize environmental toxins. Like so poison dart frogs, they are poisonous because of what they eat, but it is not active on their part. Like this is different. Not only do they not eat the poison, they specifically apply it to themselves. Presumably with the knowing that it's poison, like, hey, this is going to keep me safe. And it's definitely the only rodent with any sort of, toxic defense system. And scientists believe that this defensive strategy was adapted because this is most mice and rats are pretty quick, pretty nimble. That is not the case for the African crested rat. It's kind of like a awkward lumbering little, like a hedgehog.
Mm-hmm.
So its best survival tactic is to make predators instantly regret their decisions. So it does take the porcupine approach.
Apparently it is also stinky. Did you mention that? So that could be another...
I didn't mention that.
Like a possumatic thing. Like, I saw that the coloration was to indicate it's stinky. Like, be careful. I'll stink on you. And then if you don't care about that, it's going to be even worse for you.
Yeah, I guess like the black and white stripe coloration is like skunk and badger. Don't mess with this.
Yeah.
Zebras will break your jaw.
Right, exactly.
Don't mess with things that are black and white. Unless it's one of those black and white cookies, then absolutely destroy that.
Mess with it and you have to go right down the middle.
Well, you don't get a little bit of yin and a little bit of yang with each bite.
That's what I mean. Yeah, you have to go down the...
Oh, I see.
In between. Like, it's weird if you... Are you, like, anyone who decides to eat one half first, it's crazy.
Is a racist?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't had one of those in a while. But, I mean, really, ultimately, it's just a nice cookie. You can't go wrong with a cookie. It's so good.
The Epcot Cookie right. Festival is great with their black and white cookie at the Israel booth.
Man, there aren't a lot of descriptions of what heaven is going to be like, but the words cookie festival have to be included somewhere. I'm not working toward, you know, harps and mansions and clouds. But yeah, I'll take a cookie festival, please.
Exactly right.
All right. That's all I got.
That's all I got.
All right. That was the African Crested Rat. For you out there in Podcastia, hang out in the woodlands, munch on your favorite plants, and coat yourself in a toxic loogie like the African Crested Rat here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey, Taxonomy Titans. I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
My favorite in the world podcast.
This is a complete tangent, but there's a kid's book that we got from the library, and was reading it to the kids. It's a really like simple story about like forgiveness and you know, not gossiping and stuff like that. And then I looked at the author and it said Madonna, and I was like, no way. No, really, it was written by Madonna. this kid's book about the local town teacher who someone like spreads a rumor about him that he's a thief, and then he goes and teaches the boy like an object lesson on how difficult it is to take back your gossiping and stuff. And it's like, it's a really well done book. I can't believe it was done by Madonna.
Well, if a celebrity can understand anything, it's the power of paparazzi and the negative effect it might have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe that was it was vindictive. Like there's someone out there that she knows needed to read that book. Yeah. Mr. Peabody's Apples.